How does your vote make a difference?
Stay on 702 and Cape Talk.
16 minutes after 9 o'clock, I suppose the best way to start is to start with the governing party in the city of Tshwane. And Marilise Fourie is the MMC for finance for Tshwane, and she represents the DA. Marilise, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time. You probably heard my sort of introduction to the conversation that we're having, and I'd like to ask that in light of some of the things that I've mentioned, the lack of service delivery as far as water is concerned, the people of Laudium, Attridgeville, and those places have been complaining, at least on this show, the crime, the issues of the shootings that we're hearing about in Mamelodi, the billing crisis that we are seeing in the offices at the city of Tshwane. I've personally experienced that. What are your promises for the people of the city of Tshwane?
Good evening, Aubrey, and good evening to your listeners.
Good evening.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
For affording me the opportunity. You seem to have made up your mind.
Well, I might have, but I might have, but you know, this, there may be other people which might not have made up their mind.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Sure.
We're all entitled to our opinion.
Sure,
but I think what is important, and I will touch on some of the issues that you raised.
Yeah,
and I'm going to start with what you perceive to be a City of Tshwane problem with the water.
Yes.
It is not a City of Tshwane problem. It is a Rand water problem. They cannot supply sufficient water.
Experienced in the City of Tshwane, amongst all of the other towns in Gauteng, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
So in other words, the water challenges, for example, like in Laudium, was caused by the fact that the Rand water could not supply sufficient water. Now, we are living in a water scarce country, but it is a difficult challenge to change people's mindsets in terms of saving water.
Yeah.
So if the consumption is more than what the supply is, it is going to run dry, and it is something that we will have to communicate over and over and over again.
So is it a consumption issue or a supply issue?
It's both. It's a supply issue because the reservoir cannot fill up quickly enough. Rand water has throttled the supply to many reservoirs in Gauteng because of challenges that they have with pump stations, et cetera, and that is a well-known fact that has been communicated all over. So the supply is not coming in at the normal rate. And then it's summer. Consumers are using more water than what is supplied. So it's a dual problem. There's both sides, supply and demand.
And what are you doing about that?
What are we doing about it? We are engaging Rand water on a continuous basis. We are also communicating water-saving tips to consumers to say, this is what we expect you to understand, that you do not use a hose pipe to clean your car, that you use the shower rather than bathing, that you conserve water as far as you possibly can because it is a scarce resource. So we have been communicating with consumers on a continuous basis.
Okay.
All right.
So what are the promises? I suppose those are the current issues, but what are the promises that you as the Democratic Alliance are making to the people of the city of Tshwane, who might be, like me, very skeptical of the current leadership?
I hear you, Aubrey, yeah. But now is not the time to make promises.
Okay.
Now is the time to stabilize the city and the country for that matter, because if you look at the debt-to-GDP ratio of the country, if you look at unemployment, if you look at economic growth, we are in trouble. South Africa as a country.
Yeah, let's focus on the city of Tshwane, otherwise it becomes a national conversation. But I hear where you're going. Let's focus on the city of Tshwane.
You hear where I'm going.
Yeah,
The economy, but the growth in the economy impacts directly on the ability of consumers to pay for the services that they consume.
Yeah.
There's a direct link. So the number of people that have become unemployed during 2020 with the pandemic and everything associated with that has escalated. So there's a huge demand placed on the city's coffers to supply services, but no income. So the economic growth and the unemployment is a very real problem that impacts on the city as much as it impacts on the country. So it is let me just tell you that the payment levels of debtors during 2020 fell to as low as 75% of your bills. Now, the moment you get to that rate, and I'm sure it happens in many municipalities, the moment you get to that rate, you have a serious cash flow problem, and you have to be very, very careful with what you do with what you have, right? So we have managed to increase the payment levels to around about 90% over the 11-month period since January. You rightly said that we came back into office in November because of the final decision of the Supreme Court. That was last year. The Supreme Court of Appeal already dismissed the fact that the city was placed under administration and it was deemed to be irregular and illegal. We were waiting for the Constitutional Court, and they confirmed that decision. So in effect, we have been back in council from the 1st of November last year when the Supreme Court of Appeal gave judgment. So since that time, we have managed to improve our payment levels from the 75% during the lockdown period to more or less 90%. Now, that's still below what National Treasury expects us to do. They expect a 95% payment level. But this is where we are. This is where we are. So we have to be very, very circumspect and ensure that we focus not on promises, but on what the city has to do in terms of its constitutional mandate. We need to get back to basics. So what the mayor has done in his 10-point plan, he says, focused it on evidence-based information that we have in the city. And it says, let's focus on what is our competency, and let's do that to the best of our ability. We've got a way to go because of what happened in 2020. You have no idea the devastation of the city's finances during that period. I can give you some numbers if you want.
Well, Marie-Louis, let me stop you there, and maybe you'll be able to add all of that stuff into the discussion as we continue. I'm still interested to hear from you about the issues of crime, particularly in Mamelodi, the gang wars that are taking place. We heard that 9 people were killed. The issue of the water issues in Hammanskraal also that have been a headache for the people of Hammanskraal for decades now. And I'm not even talking about places like Mututlung and so forth. But you'll talk to us about that. Let me speak to Aaron Maluleke, the official opposition in the city of Tshwane. Aaron, good evening to you. What do you promise the people of the city of Tshwane, given some of the issues that I've raised? What do you promise the people of the city of Tshwane?
Good evening, Aubrey.
Yes, sir.
And good evening to the listeners and fellow panelists. I listened to what Marlies' response to the issue of water, which I want to characterize it as it has been a perennial issue that needed big brains to resolve. What should be a sustainability development issue? Because if you look at the water issue, it's an issue that needs or cut across issues of development. Whether you want to have address issues of food shortage or sustainability, issues of energy and issues of domestic use. Therefore, the DA has we can characterize the DA and the EFF marriage of coalition. DA, as I blew it. They blew it an opportunity of leading government. They got a government seat. They blew it. EFF is pay as you go. If you don't give them anything, they lose the marriage. Therefore, that's how they managed to collapse the city, its finances, and the leadership. It's wanting as we speak. That's why you get vague responses with regard to simple issues of water and other issues. What we are promising to the citizens of Tshwane is that we should build a resilient city that will be responsive on issues of energy, on issues of water, because we are running big industries in Roslyn, we are running a big industry in Waterloo. Those two automotive big industrial sites, they look up to the capital city to resolve or to give provision of the essentials like water and electricity on a consistent basis. The people can, if we fail in that regard, obviously it will impact on large scale in terms of job losses. And COVID has caused a dent in terms of the challenges that we're having as a country, but obviously as a city where we're having these big automotive industries. Therefore, we should correctly confront addressing issues of sustainability, which were abandoned by the DA, issues of waste to energy, supply of energy. We should look at other sources, those that will assist domestic use, for domestic use and for big industries that I've mentioned earlier. The billing system is still a thorny issue. People are complaining about high bills, which obviously come where the DA failed to have a manual reading of water and electricity. Therefore, they're using estimates in many parts of the city because they want to cover money that they lost, that they don't have. And that on its own has...
But Arora, I mean, that's where I suppose you guys need to take some culpability as far as the money is lost. Money lost because the DA, as Marley says, took over on the 1st of November last year after you guys had been running the city, or albeit it was run through an administrative process, but you guys had been running it, and billions have been lost during that period. To what extent are you guys willing to take some sort of accountability for that?
I think what we need to do, Aubrey, is to compare apples with apples. Therefore, Auditor General will be a source for all of us. They like throwing in numbers that they lost. They got a deficit of 4 billion. Somewhere after administrators, they lost another 2 billion. Therefore, it's easy to throw in numbers in political jargon and make sure that you garner votes. But in real sense of what is happening in the city, Auditor General statements will give the truth, a reflection of what transpired with our finances. Because when the DA came in here, they blew 500 million through Glad Africa. Let Marlies answer which one official was fired for such a loss, for such a big hole, which was supposed to be used for service delivery. The 700 million apology money that was paid to workers, ask Marlies who took one official. She needs to mention who took responsibility, and that was where.
What are you going to do for the people of Tshwane, Aaron?
We'll get best skills to run the city. We will hire qualified individuals to run the city. We'll make sure that there's no wastage in terms of money. We'll make sure that
Stopped you from doing all of those things when you were in power?
No, we did that. We did that. We didn't lose a seat of government because of our service delivery record. If you look at what transpired in 2016, it was intra-party differences that spilled over to communities about who should lead the city. Therefore, if you look at the record of Ramokgopa and compare it to what you are seeing now, therefore, DA is far from matching the delivery of Ramokgopa's era between 2011 and 2016. Therefore, we are going to make sure that we bring in more of programs that we had. There's tourism, for example, Aubrey. We've got the Nukang Game Reserve here. We've got 126 embassies in the city. Therefore, it means that there would be... We are busy in terms of business tourism, but DA did nothing. They just reduced tourism to a desk when COVID, when we struggled to make sure that we create jobs and make sure that we have a tourism business working.
Aaron, let me stop you there, sir. Let me stop you there. I'll be coming back to you in the next round of questions. Dr. Mamabolo Tlabela, thank you so much for joining us. The EFF, some people say that you were in a coalition with the DA. Albeit, of course, technically you don't like it to be spoken in those terms, but the DA would not have been able to ascend to power in 2016 without your assistance. That has been a bit of a mess. What do you promise the people of the city of Tshwane?
Good evening, and good evening to the listeners and my fellow panelists. First, my name is Dr. Mamoloto Tlabela, not Mamabolo.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Dr. Mamoloto Tlabela, my apologies, doctor. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you are welcome. Look, we can throw numbers and throw all these things, like Marlies is saying and my fellow friend, Aaron, what he's saying. The fact of the matter is water or access to safe water is a fundamental human right and need and plays an important role in the socioeconomic development of our community. So if we play ball or play politics about those issues, we are not doing justice to the community that we serve. I don't want to go to the issue of Hamas Karal. It's a done deal. We know what is happening. There's a looming one on the 6th of November. No, not 6th of November. Recently, I may miss the date. 6th of November is still coming when we are in charge, when we'll be in charge. There is a report about Bronco Spray, which has got the areas of Chuveni, Retabise, Kangala, Bronco Spray, Rema Park, Vester, Kultura, Masada, and so on and so on, which is experiencing similar symptoms of Hamans Canal with the issue of water.
Yeah,
I don't know if you have seen that report.
Yes.
Which talks about the color and the water being of non-consumable status and all those sort of things. I may not have all the details,
yeah.
But let me give you figures about the issue of water. There is about 40,000 unpiped water, no formal piped water in Tshwane, 40,000. And these figures are from the DA's 2019-2020 IDP report, which was approved by the DA and the ANC. The very same Aaron's organization and Marley's organization approved this particular report. If you look at that report, it says Region 3 and 4 of the 40,000, Region 3 has got 9,910, and Region 4 has got about 8,400. Low pipes, those are households without water access. So let's not play politics. In the EFF, what we are saying, our manifesto is clear. Instead of promising everybody all sorts of things, our commitments, which in your case will be the promises, our commitments are like the objectives. They have got time frames, they have got quantities. I just want to read one to say, the EFF will build a water recirculation plant in Hamans Kraal to solve the crisis that is in Hamans Kraal. Within 6 months of taking over power in Tshwane, we also mention how are we going to do it. What I'm calling to my list is to read our manifesto on page 55, a summarized version, where we are saying we're going to put a team together that will work 24 hours to make sure that that crisis, humanitarian crisis, is stopped, which I suppose my fellow friend Abel, that when he's coming, he will be asking about how far are they with the mandate that they actually set the DA must sort it out. I don't want to talk about
Why don't you want to talk about these things, Dr. Mamoloto? I mean, these are the things that people want to hear about. You're telling me about things you don't want to talk about. You don't want to talk about the water crisis in Hamans Kraal. Well, the Hamans Kraal people are a constituency of the city of Tshwane. Yeah?
It's common knowledge. People, they are suffering.
Yeah, but what I thought you were going to tell me is how you were going to deal with those issues, not tell me that you don't want to talk about them.
I read point 9 in our manifesto that we are going to build a water recirculation plant in Hamans Kraal within 6 months.
Yes, but I'm talking about the things that you are saying that you don't want to talk about. I wish you would talk about them.
Look, you cannot play about lives of people.
So you are playing here?
They are politicky. We are not politicky.
Yeah, so tell us. So what I'm asking you to do is talk about these things. If the understanding is that talking about them is politicking, then you are also part of that politicking game. Tell us about these things.
Yes, we are going to build
a
water recirculation plant in Hamans Kraal within 6 months of taking over power in Tshwane.
Yeah.
But I want to also say, I want to repudiate what you people are saying out there by misleading people. We never had a coalition with the DA. We were voting on point to point or on issue and issue basis.
Yeah.
Until they had their internal fights during Ms. Mango's period, then we realized that we cannot be in a noisy place. And we started saying, no, you are not doing it right.
The EFF could not be in a noisy place.
Yes, of course. if they were fighting, why would we be part of that fight?
Yeah.
We can't be part of the infighting of the DA, neither of the ANC.
Yeah.
So we said, no, we are not going to do it. I'll give an example. The DA opted to service the white areas, or what I call predominantly white areas, at the expense of black areas.
Yeah.
Doctor, you understand what I'm trying to say?
No, I hear you. Dr. Mamulo, yeah. Totlabela, let me stop you there. We'll get your response on the next round of questions. Abel Tau, you were a member of the DA for the longest time. You were part of the promises to the people of Hammanskraal. You are now part of Action SA in Tshwane. I suppose many people could say that the Action SA has been spawned by the DA. How different are you going to be to the DA, given the fact that just a few months ago you yourself were part of the DA, speaking for them? What are you promising the people of the city of Tshwane?
Good evening, Aubrey, and thank you for having us.
Sure.
Aubrey, you are correct that one has been with the DA, but I have been an MMC for utility service since about March 2019 until just about February. It's little over a year. In that period, I've acted as the mayor of the city, and that period at the start of it was characterized by the then mayor saying we inherited a mess. Now, the mess we had inherited was not from the ANC, unfortunately, but was from the failed turnout of the first mayor of the city of Tshwane. And the little said about the man and his failures, including the man who currently is the mayor, making promises. And it is fitting that the DA will not send Randall Williams to a debate such as this one, because the man has been part of the failings of the first administration, was not good enough to fix the mess that we had inherited from his group and cohort, where he was effectively the second in command as the leader of government business. And therefore, Tshwane has been sold a lie. And that is why a person like myself would never be part of that, because I did not come to politics because I was looking for a job. I was working for Transnet in 2016, and I had a very comfortable job where I was making a difference. I came into politics because I had something to offer, and that is why I'm with Action SA. Now, let's talk about some of the, you know, half-truths that are given here. Maradlis wants to point the problem to leave the problem at the doorstep of Randwater. I can tell the people of Tshwane that Tshwane right now is losing over 32% of water to water leaks. Now, that's almost R1 billion wasted in water leaks, which she sometimes goes into a space where she wants to admit to say Randwater is forced to throttle the water, because at the end of the day, if we cannot control the usage, then Randwater has to do the responsible thing to ensure that the supply is
maintained. Why couldn't you control the leakages? I mean, you were there, Abel. You were part of the administration. You acted as mayor at some point. You were, what did you say? You were the MMC for utilities and so forth. Why couldn't you do it then when you were part of the DA?
Look, Aubrey, in the year that I've been there, you've never had the problems such as these ones. And that's the unfortunate part, that sometimes...
We didn't have problems with water and water leakages when you were there?
No, the most successful period, Aubrey, I can tell you now, where we had been actively having proper campaigns in terms of us making sure that water usage is really brought down, where you almost, we had a program where we were reinventing and relooking into the war on leaks and that kind of thing. We never had this. In my tenure, we had proper maintenance. That is why issues such as Vapatran, you would know that it went down during the tenure of the previous mayor, and it bent down now, because the people who are here living in Tshwane have no understanding of the importance of maintenance and ensuring that the integrity of the infrastructure that is there needs to be maintained to ensure that the people get continuous supply of services. Therefore, I can tell you now that the period, and I always say this with boldness, that the period that I have been at the helm in the city of Tshwane, we've had the most successful period, and it's just a shame. And hence the confidence that the people of Tshwane during primaries have bestowed on me to say to Action SA, give us Abel Tau to lead the city of Tshwane so that we can get some more of the work that he was doing. That is the people that have actually pronounced on us. And you sit in a conversation such as this one that we are having. We, of the three parties that are sitting here, obviously, by the DA, have confidently said our mayoral candidate is Abel Tau, simply because they have confidence in the ability for me to lead a team of men and women who can actually fix the mess that we currently find ourselves in. I mean, talking about the mess that we are currently finding ourselves in, you spoke about the crime situation in Mamelodi. What people of Tshwane may not realize is that this is actually as a direct result of one of the decisions decision that was made by the mayor of the city of Tshwane now after November, Councillor Randa William. He opened a satellite police station in Hartsbombeen for the Metro Police. Now that's Region 6, effectively moving resources from Mamelodi and putting them in the areas of the east where it's affluent areas. That void has created an escalation in crime in an area that already during the crimes that we had seen that it is a hotspot of crime.
But Abel, I mean, you know as well as I do, you know as well as I do that even when the Metro Police were in Mamelodi, Boko Haram was wreaking havoc. I mean, does the geographical change of the position of have that much bearing on the operations of Boko Haram? I mean, even when they were there, the Metro Police, Boko Haram was causing havoc.
But Aubrey, logic should have been that, or logic should dictate that you would move more resources, especially as a city, because the safety of the citizens.
No, I understand that point, Abel.
Yes.
The issue that I'm raising with you, though, is you seem to be suggesting that the escalation of the crime in Mamelodi as a result of the operations of Boko Haram are as recent as when the Metro Police were moved to the east of Pretoria. I'm saying to you that Boko Haram predates the move of the city of Tshwane. So it is incorrect to suggest that the escalation of crime in Mamelodi happened as a result of the movement. I'm saying that while the Metro Police were in Mamelodi, Boko Haram was there. In fact, there are those who are suggesting that some of the Metro Police officers themselves were part or working in cahoots with people of Boko Haram.
The point I'm making, Aubrey, is that visible policing is a deterrent to crime. And I do believe that as we see now, the levels of crime in Mamelodi have escalated from that time that that word was said. And we can have, you know, a to and fro whether or not there was a direct result of the move. But I can tell you now that logic should have dictated that we bring more resources into an area that is crime-ridden than taking them away from there. That is an insensitive move, and it does not bode well for the city.
I hear you. Let me stop you there, sir. Let me stop you there, sir, and go back to Marlies and talk about issues of the application of bylaws, Marlies. We heard just a few months ago of how a man who had planted some cabbages on the side of the not on the side of the road, on the pavement right next to his house, was harassed by the police. We continue to see how pavements are continuously used in areas such as very close to the old what do they call this? Now I forget the name, but we used to have the auctions of animals, the Pretoria Showground. That's what I'm looking for. That whole area that is very close to the offices of the Metro Police. How just a few streets away, the streets of that part of the city have been taken over by the people who run shops there. In many, many townships, the areas where people are supposed to be using as public thoroughfare have now been taken over, where people are running businesses. I know this for sure, that right in front of my house, I remember somebody asking me this question, right in front of my house in Mamelodi, somebody has put up a salon. In one street, there are 10 hair salons, something like 4 shebeens. What is the consistency in the application of bylaws? A man who is growing potatoes and has got 14 Metro Police coming to warn him, or whatever it is that was, but people who are not necessarily helping the city or the people of that area are continuing to run their businesses illegally.
Aubrey, bylaw enforcement is a huge challenge. I don't think we need to beat around the bush as far as that is concerned. However, if we do not receive a complaint of a bylaw transgression, it makes it very difficult to patrol the city, which is 6,000 square kilometers big, to enforce bylaws. So we rely on the public to report bylaw infringements.
What are the Metro Police patrolling for, Marlies?
Where are they patrolling?
No, why are they patrolling? I mean, if you're saying to me that the responsibility of the reporting of bylaws, and I must agree with that, lies in the hands of the public, but we also have Metro Police who are patrolling on a daily basis. We see them in the streets. Why are they not enforcing those bylaws based on what they see, not necessarily have to be told by the members of the public? Because, as you might know, members of the public are scared to report some of these things because they're afraid of reprisals from organizations such as Boko Haram, Bafara Sai, and all of these organizations that have a knowledge of who is reporting what. And that's why some people are suggesting that the very Metro Police might have a hand in the criminality that continues in some of these places.
That is obviously not an impossibility. I think the crime stats in the city as well as in the country indicates that there are definite collusions between law enforcement agencies and the public for own benefit. So it is a serious concern. And I know that the mayor has had engagements with Metro Police and that we are trying to capacitate the bylaw enforcement unit to be able to attend to these things. But that costs money. And I'm listening to my colleagues or my opposition talking about how they're going to build water purification plants in 8 months. I've got news for them. It doesn't take 8 months or 6 months, and it doesn't take only a couple of million. It takes billions. And the Hammanskraal water problem phase one will be sorted next year when the Rooibal upgrading has been done. So the phases of Rooibal water purification.
So whoever's in power at that moment is going to take credit for it, yeah?
Obviously. It always happens like that. You stand in dead man's shoes. That's how it works in politics.
Yeah.
But another thing that I want to clarify, I'm sure, Abel, you're supposed to know that water losses are made up of two things, technical losses and non-technical losses. Technical losses links to water leaks. Non-technical losses links onto water provided that is not billed. In other words, there where water is provided free of charge. All the informal settlement, all the water that is supplied through tankers. Those are all part of your water losses, but they are just not billed. That's all. So they're not losses. So the percentage of 30% that you raise is not losses through leaks. I think we need to make this very clear. So as a city, we take great responsibility of providing water as far as we possibly can to people because it's the basic right. And we accept that. So where there's the challenges of water and where water is out for periods of time, we supply it through water tankers. It's inconvenient, I agree. But it is a basic right, and we have to fulfill that. But that is part of your non-technical loss.
Marlies, I'm going to stop you there. Aaron, the inconsistency in the application of bylaws. We have a man who's growing potatoes and cabbage on the side of the street. 14 Metro Police cars come to stop him and all sorts of things. But all the way up to Pretoria West, the streets are taken over by vendors who've taken over areas where people are supposed to move freely and use those public areas. Nothing is ever done about those people. The things that are happening in Sunnyside, I don't have to tell you about that. In the various townships where people are building makeshift salons, that also sometimes double up as shebeens that function to the very early hours of the morning, nothing happens to those people. Talk to me about the application of bylaws as far as the ANC is concerned and how are you going to deal with this?
No, thank you, Aubrey. The issue of food security, I raised it earlier on, and it speaks to the individual who took land space and utilize it effectively on what we call urban farming, because urban spaces must also be used for urban farming. But the bylaws in their own nature, they are a tight alliance between the people, the communities, the executive and council. which also provide legislature. Therefore, if you don't speak to citizens and you engage them in formulation of bylaws, you'll have people that are considered to be nonsense, like street vendors or informal traders. Because if you don't provide them with space, informal traders, they follow foot traffic. They want to sell where people are passing by on the busy streets like Lilian Ngoyi, formerly known as Van der Walt, on Madiba. They want to see people that are going to catch buses going home. Therefore, the city doesn't have, actually, they failed in this political.
Yeah, but that you would have failed too, Arun. I mean, that would mean that you would have failed too, because you had a significant time when you ran the city of Tshwane. If you know this, if you knew this, why didn't you make it happen?
No, we did. We did. You ask Barekisi Forum. We had a conversation with them, Aubrey. We took them very seriously. We took them to Rio in Brazil to see how they are using their urban space to pack informal traders. Because we knew that small business is big business. Many people lost their jobs. Alternatively, they would want to become informal traders, or they don't have alternative, but they want to have livelihood and survive. Therefore, informal trading is an important business. Wherein you have a conversation that we are moving you from here, we are going to take you here, we are going to provide you with ablution facility, we are going to provide you with stalls. Those stalls can double up as a trading space, yeah, and also as an advertising space that other companies can advertise and you have revenue. Therefore, DA cancels all these important programs and they term them vanity projects. Informal traders, they are now lying all over the city. They are competing with people who want to use those pavements. Therefore, bylaws are important. Marlies misses the point that in the metropolis, we've got what we call a bylaw unit, which has to deal with your question, Aubrey, that why are metropolis officers are not dealing with people who are throwing waste all over the city? Why people are not are selling cars all over Sefako Makatu, formerly known as Zambezi Road?
Yeah.
Why are they selling cars on space that is supposed to be protected, the servitude that is owned by the city? Therefore, they've abandoned all these important programs and focused on making sure that they take people into jail. None of those have happened. Bylaws have, you know, if you don't enforce bylaws in conversation with citizens, you'll have civic disobedience, because people don't know what is it that you're doing. You're talking about them without them being present when you're doing those bylaws. I was just trying to make a point earlier on when you came in and wanted to elucidate on one point, that there's no informal traders by law. Because if you are having that, it means you had a conversation with informal traders and they know do's and don'ts. But it doesn't happen under the DA-EFF-led coalition government.
Arun Maluleke, thank you very much. It doesn't happen under the DA... EFF coalition government, Dr. Mamoloto, tell me what then of the issue of bylaws? How is the EFF going to enforce bylaws, if they are going to? And which areas, not just geographically, but just in terms of the issues that you want to deal with, are the bylaws going to be enforced on if the EFF takes over?
Yeah. Before I answer, maybe I should quote what Dr. Mamoloto Tlavela normally says. That a twisted history or a debauched history yields justice. We never had a coalition with the DA and the EFF. But nonetheless, crime is crime. On the issue of crime, the EFF government is clear on that particular issue, that it will strengthen, rather we will strengthen the law enforcement to fight not only crime like corruption, crime like gangs, crime like drug lords, and so on and so on. But now what we did is, you see, it touches the issue of land. And our cardinal pillar number one, as you may know, is about land. So we localized that cardinal pillar in terms of municipality, that we will identify and expropriate land for purposes of agriculture and settlement. So doing that, it will mean we will have, as the EFF government, we will have land for agrarian economy. We will make sure that there is clear town planning program. They will be in line with what I just said. We will conduct a land audit. We will be able to then have that land demarcated nicely, not the one that we are talking about, but because people will be having land to grow their vegetables in that particular manner. They won't go onto the street and grow vegetables on the street. So because of the issue of land, and don't get me wrong to say I promote those people that are growing vegetables on the street because they don't have land. I'm saying if we have got a clear town planning program, we won't have a need for that. Then we can divert our resources to go and fight issues like crime, in terms of corruption, gangs, drug lords, and so on and so on. But let me touch again on the issue of, I see Marlies is stuck on the issue that we cannot do it. We cannot build the reticulation of Hammanskraal Kraal water. We can.
In 6 months.
That it's possible. Yeah, in 6 months. It's possible. It's a matter of political will. And also, if you go to the IDP, which I allude to most of the time, I quote the IDP, which has been there. There is budget that is there. It has been returned with a lot of excuses, which are actually irrelevant. And now, all of a sudden, they promise that they will solve those matters of water in Hammanskraal.
Yeah.
Yes. So Doctor, you don't do that. Yes.
Yeah, Dr. Mamoloto, let me give Abel Tau the last word in this conversation. Abel Tau, your last word as far as the inconsistencies in the application of bylaws in the city of Tshwane.
Look, Aubrey, it is unfortunate that the DA has failed dismally over the past 5 years. You have had a situation where the Metro Police have held the mayor, you know, interrupted a mayoral event because they are demoralized, they are under-resourced, they have not really been trained, and there's been uncertainty in terms of policy direction and what needs to be done. Because the DA had wanted to be in government at all costs, and one of those byproducts of this is that it was rendered ineffective by the voting patterns that have been there. That is why some of us have left, because you need to lead on principle. And I think that people of Tshwane want to have a government that will ensure that there are rules for everyone and not rules get to be changed, chopped and changed as we go along and we make them as we go along. So there will be bylaw enforcement when we come into the city. We've got 1,200 funded Metro Police vacancies that are currently there. We are going to make an intake when I take over the city to make sure that we beef up the current Metro Police force and have more boots on the ground. We are the only party that has gone out to say, look, we are going to go out there and ensure that anyone who's in this country is here legally, and when they are here, they respect our laws. I don't believe that there's anyone in terms of current legislation who is not a landowner in this country or is here with a business visa.
Understood, Abel.
So I can tell you now, Pretoria West and those areas, we're going to go in there and make sure that we remove people who, especially if foreign nationals are sitting there trading illegally, we are going to make sure that we take that head.
Out of 10, your prospects for success as the Action SA?
Out of 10, I think 8 out of 10. You would have seen today we have been actually...
Well, let me stop you there and thank you very much for joining us. Aaron Maluleke, out of 10, your prospects for success?
For the ANC, Elbre?
Yes.
We are at 9. We are working for 1, consolidating our work and coming back to the seat of government.
So 9 out of 10. Maralise Fourie, out of 10, your prospects for success?
Our prospects of success is an absolute majority in the city of Tshwane after the November election.
Out of 10?
10.
Wow. And Dr. Mamoloto Tlabela, what is your prospects for success for the EFF out of 10?
We are the fighters. We don't go to war to lose. 10 out of 10.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mamoloto Tlabela, Abel Tau of the Action SA, ANC representative Aaron Maluleke, and Maralise Fourie, MMC for Finance and representative for the DA. Thank you all.